From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, what is up, beautiful people? It is May 6th, 2015, and you are tuned in to WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin. We have a fantastic show in store for you today. That's right, I'll be chatting with Greg Campy, who is the head coach of the Oakland University men's basketball team. Greg will talk about one cool initiative as he and a plethora of other men's basketball college coaches are banding together to fight cancer. You do not want to miss this chat with Greg. We'll also talk about the year that he had with Oakland University as, I tell you what, Lansing Sexton alum Jalen Hayes, really a breakout season for him, earning 6 Horizon League All-Freshman Player of the Week honors. And have you seen the pictures of the new Oakland U blacktop court? We'll talk about all of that and so much more with Greg. You don't want to miss that. We'll also talk Detroit Tigers baseball, Isaiah Thomas taking over a certain WNBA team. Also, a former Detroit Lion wide receiver trying to get his life back on track. All of that while also taking your calls throughout this entire hour. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this May 6th. All right, folks, we start this edition of Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners with some MSU football news. That's right, former MSU punter Mike Sadler will punt for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at a rookie minicamp starting on Friday, and will try to show that he is stronger and more capable than his final 2 seasons at MSU suggests. Now, the latest NFL draft counts for 4 MSU players selected. Actually, Trey Waynes, of course, Jeremy Langford, Tony Lippitt, and Keith Mumphrey. 4 with free agent deals. Those include Curtis Drummond, Andrew, Gleickert, Tywan Jones, and Marcus Rush, and Sadler and safety and linebacker Mylon Hicks with tryouts. Good luck to Sadler and Hicks. Really hope they can earn a spot on the roster. All right, a home-and-home series between Michigan State and Florida is in the works, according to ESPN's Andy Katz. He reported that today, and he said it would involve games in East Lansing next year and Gainesville, Florida the following season, quote, if they can get the deal done. Now, Katz said that likely Big Ten favorite Maryland could be matched up against North Carolina, with Indiana taking on Duke. If that's the case, the Michigan State men's basketball team could be paired with Virginia, a team it has defeated in the past 2 NCAA tourneys. All right, the Horizon League is expected to sign a deal this week with Olympia Entertainment to bring the conference basketball tournament to Joe Louis Arena. That's according to multiple people with knowledge of the discussions. Now, the intent is for the men's basketball tournament to begin immediately in the 2015-16 season and potentially anchor the tourney in the D for the foreseeable future. Now, the terms are likely to be a 5-year deal spanning the current final 2 years in the Joe, and then the first 3 in the new Red Wings Arena, and the conference would likely receive $200,000 per year. All right, the Detroit Tigers, they fell in game 1 of a 3-game road series against the Chicago White Sox, 5-2 the final of that game. Now, Jeff Samardzija, he pitched 7 effective innings, and Chicago snapped a 5-game losing streak. Shane Green, who is now 3-2, he was charged with 5 runs and 5 hits in just 2. In 2/3 innings, a bad outing for Shane. All right, game 2 is tonight at 8:10 p.m. Of course, in the Shy, Alfredo Simon against Chris Sale. All right, former Detroit Lions receiver Titus Young, who is erratic, violent behavior resulted in felony assault charges, against him in 2 California counties, received compassion, but a stern warning from a Los Angeles County Superior Court judge who told Young yesterday that he would spare him from a state prison term. Now, Young, who started as a wide receiver at Boise State and then played 2 years for the Detroit Lions, was sentenced to a long probation term, 5 years to be exact, and 1 year of inpatient treatment and therapy at the Crosby Center in California. All right, in last night's NBA playoff action, the Atlanta Hawks, they topped the Washington Wizards 106-90, tying the series at one game apiece. Now, the Golden State Warriors, they fell to the Memphis Grizzlies at home 97-90, also evening up that series. In the NHL, the Chicago Blackhawks beat the Minnesota Wild 1-0 to take a 3-0 series lead. And the Calgary Flames, they topped the Anaheim Ducks 4-3 to stop the Ducks from maintaining a 3-0 advantage in that series. So that series currently stands at 2-1. All right, former Detroit Piston guard Isaiah Thomas, he is returning to New York basketball despite, of course, a checkered reign with the New York Knicks that ended in the aftermath of a 2007 sexual harassment scandal. Now, Thomas has become president and part owner of the New York Liberty of the WNBA. The team announced that yesterday. And last but not least, yeah, more boxing news concerning Manny Pacquiao and his handlers. They have actually been hit with a lawsuit asking for damages for anyone who paid to watch his fight with Floyd Money Mayweather Jr. because he failed to disclose his shoulder was injured. Now, the suit was filed yesterday in federal court in Las Vegas on behalf of two plaintiffs, identified as Stephanie Vano and Cammy Raburi. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call in at 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot me a comment there or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, how about we start the show?
This, there's only one place it belongs, and that's on the mantle at Stuart Scott's house. So if the girls could come up, please. This is not for me. Like a lot of people in this room, I love your dad. And having gone through cancer, and he and I would text back and forth, and I would just tell him, and I'll tell Shelly the same thing, look, you may have cancer, but it doesn't have you. And you just fight, and you just lean in on people who love you. We love Stuart Scott. This is your Emmy.
Ah, yes, welcome to Current Sports on this Wednesday. That's right, it's Hump Day, folks. May 6th, 2015. As always, I am the man behind the mic, your host of Current Sports, Al Martin. And what you just heard was the voice of legendary broadcaster Ernie Johnson. Of course, Ernie yesterday at the Emmy Awards, which is really the highest honor in our business when concerning television, I should say. Ernie Johnson was donned, he got an Emmy actually for best in studio host. And that's why you didn't see him. If you tune into the NBA action last night on TNT, that's why you didn't see Ernie, behind the desk with, of course, Charles, Kenny, and Shaq, because Ernie was getting that award and receiving that award. But, you know, what I love about Ernie Johnson, and Ernie over the years has become one of my favorite broadcasters in the world of sports broadcasting, folks, because, one, I mean, he comes across as so personable. And he loves what he does. He puts in so much time, effort, and research, and he knows his stuff, folks. And, you know, he's just so relaxed and so inviting when you see him on television. And another thing I like about Ernie Johnson is that he's just a good person. And that, what you heard right there, that montage that we just played to begin today's show, sort of sums up who Ernie Johnson is. So at the awards yesterday, he goes up to receive the Emmy for Best in Studio Host. And, you know, he takes some time out and says, you know what? This Emmy doesn't belong to me. This Emmy belongs in the house of Stuart Scott on his mantle. Of course, Stuart Scott, you know, we talked a lot about Stuart on this show in the past few months, because Stuart Scott, not only was he one of the biggest reasons I decided to enter this business, but Stuart Scott was such just a vibrant personality. And he fought the heinous disease of cancer, fought it valiantly up until his passing this past year. And, you know, it was so remarkable seeing Ernie just stand up there because and really honor Stuart in this way, because you see so many people in this industry sort of get on their high horse. So many people that, you know, get in this industry and get some sort of status, get some sort of fame, and their head just balloons up. Ernie Johnson, folks, is not one of those individuals. He's so classy, and what you saw last night from him and what you just heard is an example of one of the highest forms of class. That's why you got to love Ernie Johnson, folks. And it was so emotional watching that scene, because Stuart Scott, I mean, he wasn't an old guy. He was like 49 years old, I believe. And, you know, his two daughters were there. They're still young. I believe one is in college. And they go up there and they immediately give Ernie Johnson just a huge hug. And you can only imagine what they're going through. I mean, losing their father at such a young age, and losing just such a man who, anytime you saw Stu and anytime you heard accounts of those who knew Stuart Scott, I mean, they were nothing but positive. And it was really cool to see Ernie Johnson honor the late and great Stuart Scott in that way. So just a reminder, you know, my mom always told me growing up, you know, you got to reach as you climb. You got to stay humble, and you got to appreciate at whatever stage you are in life. And that was the perfect example of that from Ernie Johnson last night. So I wanted to start the show on a positive, feel-good note and salute to Ernie Johnson, because, you know, we need more people like him in just our everyday lives. So I definitely wanted to start off the show with that. So, all right, folks, we got a great show in store for you, though. I'm excited about it, especially when it comes to our guest for today's show. His name is Greg Campy. You know that name. He is the Oakland University men's basketball coach. And speaking of cancer, Greg Campy has really taken it upon himself to put together a really cool initiative to raise money in support of fighting this heinous disease. Many of you out there watching, who watch Current Sports TV and listen to Current Sports Radio on a daily basis, probably know of someone or are currently going through, just the trials and tribulations that this disease brings about. I always tell the story of my grandfather, the man who made me into a man, who showed me how to be a responsible individual, who really just showed me the ropes of life. And who I dearly miss to this day, and I feel as though each and every day I wake up, I carry a part of him with me, that being my late grandfather, Edward Martin Sr. And, my grandfather, he actually passed away due to prostate cancer back in 2011. Fought it valiantly, and, it was just such a riveting time in my family, because when it happened, and first off, we never seen my grandfather in a vulnerable state. He was a man who always walked around big, strong, and tall. Was always the man of the family, you know, the glue, him and my grandmother, the glue that held the family together. So to see him in a vulnerable state and to go through and battle cancer to the point where, you know, he really didn't want to talk anymore. He barely ate and would just kind of just stare off into the abyss. And just see, it's just to see that decline is one of the most riveting things that an individual could go through, when seeing a loved one who was once filled with so much energy, just hampered by any disease, let alone that of cancer. But cancer affects so many folks. I'm pretty sure 99.9 of you out there, again, know someone who was going through it or had to deal with the loss of someone due to this disease. So Greg Campy and, coaches, you know, in the world of college men's basketball have teamed up with Greg to form this very cool initiative and a pretty cool auction that involves MSU men's basketball coach Tom Izzo, Michigan men's basketball coach John Beilein, and a plethora of other coaches that are pretty recognizable. But they have teamed together with the help of Greg Campy to form this incredible auction that you can be a part of. And actually, today is the last day to be a part of this. Now, we're going to give you the rundown on exactly what it is, how it was formed. Greg is going to join me on the phone to talk about this. He's actually out in the golf course right now, so that'd be a pretty cool interview to have while he's maybe on like the seventh hole, maybe, you know, chipping for birdie, right? But we'll talk to Greg about this pretty cool initiative. You do not want to miss that chat. And also later on in the hour, we'll talk about the Detroit Tigers, as they are now losers of three of the last five games. Of course, they split that series with the Kansas City Royals, and they begin this three-game road series against the Chicago White Sox with a loss. Again, game two will be tonight at 8:10 p.m. So we'll talk about what happened last night. Shane Green, he definitely struggled. And he has struggled. He's going through a rough patch of the season right now. So we'll talk about the Tigers. Also, Isaiah Thomas getting back involved when it comes to the game of basketball in New York in a pretty interesting way. As you just heard in our Quick Hit Headliners, Isaiah Thomas being named as the president and part owner of the New York Liberty of the WNBA. How about that? Interesting stuff. All right, to start the show, I want to talk about a subject that, you know, in many respects of the word, and I think this is the right word to use when talking about this subject, taboo. I'm gonna say that a lot throughout this discussion, because, you know, this is a discussion that I really don't think is talked about enough in the world of sports, folks. And the reason I bring it up is because of some news that, again, I'm definitely happy for this individual, because I do think that when looking at, you know, dating back to his college career, certain steps could have been taken when it comes to the NCAA and the NFL to help this young man out, this troubled young man. And, of course, who I'm talking about is former wide receiver of the Detroit Lions, Titus Young, who, of course, was involved with erratic and violent behavior that resulted in felony assault charges against him in two California counties. He received a bit of compassion this week by a Los Angeles County Superior Judge who told Young that he would spare him from a state prison term. Now, again, Young, he was a starred wide receiver at Boise State before, of course, he was drafted by the Detroit Lions. He played two seasons for the Detroit Lions, and he was sentenced to long-term probation, 5 years to be exact, and 1 year of inpatient treatment and therapy at the Crosby Center out in Escondido, California. Now, it's an interesting topic, and one that, again, isn't talked about enough in the world of sports, because it happens far more often than we think it does. And the reason I say this is because not only, you know, have we seen Titus Young go through this troubled period of mental illness, but we've seen other athletes go through this thing. You know, one athlete that really stands out in my mind is Brandon Marshall, Pro Bowl wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, who has really been very open in telling his story about how he battled with personality disorder. I mean, he had a mental health issue, folks. And, you know, following his diagnosis 3 years ago with personality disorder, Marshall, who, again, Pro Bowl wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, a very recognizable face in the National Football League, he set a pretty ambitious goal that you have to tip your cap off to. He has become a big advocate in becoming, in just getting the word out about mental health, sort of what Magic Johnson is for HIV. I mean, Magic, you know, he constantly goes on tours, especially when he was diagnosed with this disease and really started to battle back. And it's a pretty, you know, from looking, you know, at different reports here and there, Magic Johnson has really done a great job at battling that disease and has become really the face for fighting HIV. And that's what Brandon Marshall wants to do when it comes to mental health illness, not only in the world of sports, but in anybody's everyday life. You know, Brandon Marshall, he wants to make an off-limits subject commonplace. He's reaching out to players who might need help, teaming up with mental health organizations through his charity and raising awareness and cash for early detection programs. Pretty cool quote here from ESPN.com. He says, quote, "Where we are now is where the HIV community was 25 years ago. We can raise all the money in the world, but people might not go get help. They're still going to see it as a," again, the word I love here to use in this subject, "a taboo topic. So it's important for us to get the conversation started." Now, with this news about, you know, Titus Young, who clearly had mental health issues, And you know, he had bipolar disorder and was really just battling with some demons within his mind. And, you know, not only with Titus Young and Brandon Marshall, but I also saw a story done by HBO Sports not too long ago that talked about the mental health of countless college student athletes out there that really are on the brink of really, you know, for lack of better terms, insanity. I mean, when you look at, you know, this article from Justin Ching of Fox Sports, it's really riveting stuff, folks. Now, he really attacks it from a gender perspective here when looking at women who play college sports. And, you know, looking directly at his article here, according to the American Psychiatric Association, women are, quote, nearly twice as likely as men to develop depression, anxiety, and eating disorders. Add in the stress of sports commitments and you have a dangerous combination. The majority of women interviewed pointed to eating disorders related to their sport as the top issue. Now, this is a quote coming from a group of University of South California lacrosse players saying, quote, "We talk about body image every day." And they go on in this article to talk about how, you know, they have pressures of maintaining their scholarship because, you know, and especially in this HBO sports documentary, it recounts a young woman who was actually a woman college athlete in the sport of track and field. And she performed in shot put. And she would talk about how her head coach was very, just always on her back. Always on her back. You have to perform better. If you don't, we'll pull your scholarship. And, you know, which isn't right at all. I mean, you know, you just sort of attacking her. Just kind of calling her out. And with that being said, she felt as though she was under so much pressure to maintain her scholarship and to perform out there on that athletic venue that it caused her to just go insane. I mean, she would wake up stressed and you know, just dreading going to practice, constantly bumping heads with her coach. And later on in her college career, she tried to take her life. She tried to take her life, folks. You know, just a riveting story. And it's one of those things that this is commonplace. It's starting to become more and more commonplace in the world of college athletics and also the pros to where this discussion, I think, needs to be had. Now, me personally, and I've gone on the record of saying this when we had the discussion of Titus Young and his mental health issues to begin with, I place more blame on the system of the NCAA in the NFL when it comes to this. One, because in the NCAA, I feel as though kids who enter an athletic realm, a lot of those kids don't understand how to deal with the pressures that are immediately placed on their back upon receiving a scholarship, especially at a big institution. There are certain expectations that you have to meet there out in the field. And if you don't, yeah, you run the risk of having your scholarship yanked for someone else. And I'm not talking about the big chain sports here, like, you know, college football, you know, and college basketball more so, because it also happens in those sports. But just think about the little sports. You know, I don't like to label them as little because I believe they're important too. I mean, any sports that you play is an important part of who you are, an important part of the university. But, you know, we all know that college basketball and college football, that's what drives in the most revenue for the respective Division I colleges. But, you know, again, for this story, you know, looking at the story of this HBO Sports documentary of this young woman who played track and field, who played shot put, and if she didn't perform up to those expectations, the coach is threatening to take your scholarship away. I mean, those are pretty high pressures to deal with as a college athlete. And I believe that the NCAA could do a lot more when it comes to providing the necessary avenues for college athletes out there. Counseling is what I'm talking about here, folks. Providing those avenues of counseling to help those individuals who may be struggling, who may be dealing with a bad mental state, struggling mentally to adjust to the college lifestyle. I don't hear that talked about enough. And then in the NFL as well, which of course you talk about being a money-driven industry. It's all about, one, winning games and driving in revenue for your respective professional sport and respective pro team. That's what it's all about. And the mental health, let alone physical health, I can go on a rant about that as well, but the mental health is sort of put on the back burner. You never hear about, you know, counseling avenues for pro athletes. And, you know, when looking at all the intangibles and the recipe that goes into this discussion, I mean, a lot of these athletes have troubled backgrounds and, you know, and growing up in troubled environments. And when you have an athlete who grows up in an environment like that and are suddenly thrust into public atmosphere, a lot of them struggle mentally to deal with it. And, you know, I just think that the NCAA and NFL needs to do more in helping that athlete. And I think that if Titus Young had the right avenues out there to say, man, I need some help here. I'm struggling mentally, folks. Help me. If the NFL or NCAA had those avenues for Titus Young to vent towards, I really think we may have seen a different outcome when it comes to the career of Titus Young. And, hey, salute to Brandon Marshall, because he is attacking a subject that, again, in many respects of the words, is taboo. A lot of people feel uncomfortable when talking about mental health illness because, one, they're not educated about it. And I, for one, am not afraid to admit that I am learning more and more about mental health issues in our society day by day. Day by day, folks. Because, you know, for me, you know, to share a personal story with you all, you know, when I was in college, one of my really good friends, really close friend of mine, he battled bipolar disorder, and it was one of those things we had no idea, because, you know, we went from this, you know, one day he was just really, you know, just average, you know, normal acting guy, and then all of a sudden we actually took a spring break trip down to Miami Beach. This is like my senior year of college. You know, we wanted to get out and about, make it a big one, so we went out to Miami Beach to celebrate spring break, and we just started to notice just different subtle changes when it came to my friend's personality. And it scared us, to be honest. We didn't know what was going on. It really scared us, guys. And, his mom eventually convinced, we talked with his mom, and his mom eventually convinced him to go see a doctor. And that's when he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, something that he still struggles with to this day. He is getting better. He's gotten a lot better. But there are people out there that need that help. And with it being such a topic that isn't talked about a lot of people out there might be ashamed to go see a doctor to get that advice. But, folks, we are starting to see it happen more and more and more in the world of sports. And not even only with this issue of mental health. Some people that we see, you know, are struggling, you know, when it comes to, you know, athletics is, you know, the big subject that we've had, you know, conversation in and out here on Current Sports Radio is athletes going broke. Athletes not having that guidance, that counseling when it comes to managing their money. Pro sports should be offering more counseling to these athletes, folks, because I just hate to see it. There's nothing that I hate more so in sports, other than losing, of course. It's seeing an athlete that has so much potential, the world at his feet, and seeing it all go out the window through something that certainly could have been avoided. Sad stuff. What do you think about it, folks? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I'm really rooting for Titus Young. I really hope he gets his life back on track. And I just think at this point to you know, hope that we'll see him on the NFL field or playing football in general is just kind of an expectation that isn't unrealistic at this point. Right now, just really concerned for the future of Titus Young and his overall mental state. Really rooting for that guy, though, because he was one heck of a player at Boise State. I want to invite, before we hit our first break, I want to get Isaac Constant's thoughts on this really briefly here. Of course, Isaac, our outstanding engineer here on WKAR's Current Sports. Isaac, what did you think when you heard about this whole Titus Young story and him getting the 5 years probation? Because I really just think it's just a sad situation, man.
Well, Al, first off, I commend the judge for showing that type of, I don't know, restraint and understanding for Titus Young, because athletes really do have so much thrust on their shoulders at such a young age. It's easy to have those problems. But I agree with you. There needs to be more counseling avenues and more team psychologists and other, you know, ways like that for athletes to deal with this, because just like how at Ivy Leagues, those schools have the highest suicide rates for any students, these athletes at top schools, any Division I program, are going to have a lot of pressure, and they're going to have trouble dealing with it sometimes, and I think Titus Young's an example of that.
Yeah, I certainly agree. And you know what? I think it's one of those subjects that, you know, rather sooner than later, because, you know, it took the NFL until it got to extremes of when it comes to domestic violence, when we saw the Ray Rice video and it was so in your face. It took that extreme for the NFL to finally act and say, okay, this is a serious problem. We need to start really punishing our players and really start to educate our players on why domestic violence isn't right. And we're starting to see the campaigns where different players are coming out and saying, you know, and you know, explaining that domestic violence isn't right. They have this whole, you know, league-wide campaign, not only in football, but also sports in general. I just hope that it doesn't come to an extreme point when it comes to mental health issues of athletes. I hope it doesn't hit an extreme where they're forced to really do something. Nip it in the bud right now and start to provide those avenues. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. When we come back from our first break, folks, I'll be chatting with Greg Campy, who is the head coach of the Oakland University men's basketball team. You don't want to miss his incredible initiative to fight cancer. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, it's how we began today's show. Of course, with the montage of Ernie Johnson, legendary broadcaster who won an Emmy last night for the best in-studio sports host. Ernie Johnson, such a classy individual, handing that Emmy award over to other legendary sports broadcasters, Stuart Scott's daughters. Of course, Stuart Scott passed away after one admirable fight against the heinous disease of cancer. And Ernie Johnson, he's actually a cancer survivor himself. I actually just shared you guys my story, you know, with my grandfather who passed away due to the cancer disease back in 2011. And again, like I said, many of you out there listening, to Current Sports Radio or who tune in to Current Sports TV, you guys know at least someone who has either battled this disease and won or sadly lost or know someone who is currently in the midst of this fight right now. So, you know, we want to invite our outstanding guest. It's actually his first time here on WKAR's Current Sports. His name is Greg Campy, Oakland University men's basketball coach. And I tell you what, he has done one outstanding job and rallying some big names in the world of college basketball to fight this disease. Now, this exclusive, one-of-a-kind experience features the opportunity to network, dine, and golf with your favorite coach at one of the world's top courses, all while raising awareness and funds for the fight against cancer. Now, get this. Up for auction are 10 spectacular packages featuring a private dinner with elite basketball coaches, a one-night stay at Motor City Casino Hotel on Sunday, May 31st, and an afternoon of golf on Monday, June 1st at Oakland Hills Country Club. And here to talk about it all again, Greg Campy, head Oakland University men's basketball coach. Greg, how you doing?
Good, Al. I appreciate you having me on to talk about this. All you were saying there, it's a really important time in all of our lives that we've got to do something about it. And, you know, everybody talks about awareness. And everybody's aware of it. Now it's time to kill it, you know, to beat it. That's what we're trying to do.
That is so true, Greg. Now, first off, to start this conversation, I got to ask, how did this incredible idea of this really unique auction come about for you?
I was in a restaurant with Izzo out in the middle of nowhere, and it was interesting that everybody in that restaurant came up and wanted his autograph and get a picture with the wait staff and all that kind of stuff. And I was trying to do something. I was working with the Cancer Society at the time, and that's when the idea came that, you know, these guys are rock stars, and why not? You know, I've been in the business for 30-some years, and why not take advantage of that? That I know all these people, and let's get them all together and do a one-of-a-kind event that's going to, you know, get people to come, and we can raise a bunch of money. And it's turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, Greg, as I just stated, I mean, everyone knows someone that is or has battled cancer. I mean, you know, I got to ask, I mean, why is this cause so near and dear to your heart? There has to be some personal connection here, right?
Well, yeah, and it's been a really rough couple years for Oakland University basketball. I'm in my late 50s, and we lost a player in his 30s who, you know, an ex-player who had graduated and moved on. And then one of my players' mothers contracted disease and was gone in a month. And another player, his father had surgery, brain surgery, actually, the week before our league tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And then personally, Dave Bergman, who the ex-Tiger, was a very close friend of mine. We lost him a couple weeks ago. And then there's a coach in the business named Dan Peters, who's been a longtime friend. We lost him to pancreatic cancer in December. So the last year and a half or so has been really, really difficult. And it was time to, you know, you see this going on and you just quietly want to do something to help the cause. And fortunately, Cal and Iz and Bob Huggins and Steve Alford and Roy Williams and all those guys feel the same way. And they thought this was a great idea. And, you know, we're all coming together on May 31st and we're going to raise a bunch of money and have a lot of fun.
And that's what I want to talk about next. I mean, when you look at this incredible list of coaches that you have put together, I mean, Steve Alford, as you just mentioned, Rick Barnes, John Beilein, John Calipari, Bob Huggins, Tom Izzo, Greg Campy, of course, yourself, Sean Miller, John Pastner, and Roy Williams. I mean, how in the world did you assemble this unbelievable cast of coaches, and what was their reaction once you told them the idea?
Well, it's a bunch of guys that have beaten the hell out of me over the years, you know. The 10 coaches combined have 5,317 wins, and many of those were against Oakland. You know, you just get to know people, and you know, it's a great cause. And, you know, Roy Williams and Alford are both really good golfers, and they had a chance to play one of the best golf courses in the world. They wanted to do that. But more than that, it's, you know, the dinner the night before is really the big thing. We're going to be in a small room with 40 people, a strolling dinner. You're not going to be sitting at tables, and the coaches, they know what they're there for. They're going to tell stories, and the 30 people that are, you know, that are going to pay to be there are going to get a chance to rub elbows and listen to stories and joke and have a lot of fun and go in the casino a little bit. And then the next day I'm going to take the coaches to the Beaumont Cancer Ward. We're going to go through and meet a lot of the kids. And, you know, it's going to be a great 24 hours. We're going to raise hopefully a couple hundred thousand dollars. And today's the last day of the auction.
Yeah.
And, you know, it closes tonight. We're at about 150-some thousand right now. I'm hoping for a real rush at the end here.
Yeah, certainly. And you know what? Again, the winning bidders and their two guests, again, they will round out the foursome with their selected coach on the golf course. Really cool stuff here. And I'm looking here on the website, actually, Greg, and looking at, you know, the current bids of each of these coaches. And, yeah, Tom Izzo, he's actually leading everyone with $18,000. Is that surprising?
Well, not that he's leading. I was hoping that we get that up around 25 or 30. That would really help us. So
right.
I hope that's going to happen. You know, we'll see how as they go down the stretch tonight. You know, the golf, too, is not, it's not a tournament or an outing or anything. It's just golf with your coach. And, there's, you know, we're not keeping score. There's no prizes. It's just spend 4 or 5 hours on a great golf course with the coach and have some fun.
Yeah, and I'm looking at yours, Greg. I mean, yours stands at what 10,000 right now, and it says sold. What does that mean?
No. I was sold.
Okay.
So I actually went for 30.
Oh, you went for 30? Oh my goodness.
Well, it was, you know, I before this ever started, I got a sponsor, and for him to be the sponsor, he gets to play with me, and that, you know, so I got 30 from him.
Wow.
So,
gotta love
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So the whole thing's at about 152,000 right now.
Wow.
We want to get it up to 200.
Okay, well, you heard it, folks. I mean, hey, we actually post this link on our Facebook page as well for those that that want to bid and get involved with this incredible cause. And you know what? You know, I find this so you know, admirable, you know, Greg, because you know, people a platform have such a big voice to really affect change. And you know, given the platform that you all have as college basketball head coaches, do you feel a certain responsibility to engage in certain philanthropic endeavors such as this?
Well, I do. I think community service is very, very important for all of us up there in Lansing. You know how much Tom does, you know, what your football coach does, what your Susie does as the women's basketball coach. That's part of our job. And We all take that seriously. In this case, though, this is just, you know, this is just a monster that has to be beaten. And got an idea. I didn't know it was going to get as much publicity as it got. I'm glad it did, though, because it's not about what I'm doing. It's about, you know, beating this disease and what these nine coaches are doing to you know, come together in a you know, unbelievable way to raise money so that we can beat the disease. And, you know, if we keep doing things like that, I think we can win the battle.
Again, folks, we are talking with Greg Campy, Oakland University men's basketball coach. Again, Greg, as you just mentioned, this is the final day to get involved with this campaign. For those out there listening right now, how can they do so?
All right, you go to the webpage, www.coachesbeatcancer.org. Click on the coach you want to bid on, and it'll tell you how to do it. Come on, it's going to be a great, great day. I guarantee you, you will have the time of your life. A unique experience.
Yeah. That is fantastic stuff, Greg. And really, you know, two quick questions before we get you out of here. Concerning the Oakland University basketball program, you know, I was actually just scouring the net, you know, a few weeks ago, and I really think it's pretty cool. The new Oakland University blacktop basketball court. I want to get your thoughts on it. I really think that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a marketing tool. I mean, I wanted to do it a long time ago. We got a new athletic director. I took it to him. He liked it. And so, you know, it's turned into a pretty cool thing. And it's, when it finished and we see it now, it's really, really neat. And when you turn on TV and see a game at Oakland, you're going to know that's Oakland. And I had a kid who committed to us who, you know, the first thing he said is, I'm going to go play on the blacktop. So that's kind of a marketing tool that we're, you know, in this day. And hey, look what it did for Boise State. You know, look what the blue field did for Boise State. So
right.
Every day in this business, you try and keep relevant. And, you know, it was just an idea that seemed to work. So we're excited about it. We're excited to see what a game's like on it.
And it kind of gives you a feel of what being outdoors on the blacktop court playing outside, right?
Right, and that's the thing. You know, we recruit a lot of urban kids, and we play a very fast pace, and that was kind of, you know, the marketing idea.
And lastly here, I want to talk about Lansing Sexton alum, of course, Jalen Hayes, earning six Horizon League All-Freshman Player of the Week honors. I mean, what's it been like to see his game evolve in his first year with your program, Greg?
Well, he's getting better and better, but, you know, he won a couple state championships up there with your guys, so you knew he was a great player. We're excited. We think he's got a chance to be, you know, one of the best ever at Oakland before it's all said and done. He had a tremendous freshman year. He's working hard now to become a great sophomore. And that's what we've got to do, keep getting better. But he's got a chance to be somebody really, really special.
Yeah, it is great to see Jalen having success with your program. All right, Greg. Well, you know what a little birdie also told me? Of course, a good friend of mine in this industry, Uncle Freddie is what I call him, Fred Heumann over at WLNS TV6 Sports Director there. He told me that you are actually on the golf course right now. Is that right, Greg?
Yep, and everybody's getting mad at me because they're all up on the green and I'm standing here waiting to hit my shot. That's okay. This is an important deal. So
okay.
They're all back looking at me like, what are you doing? So,
all right, Greg, let me get you out of
here. For you, anything, all right?
All right. Thanks a lot, Greg. Appreciate that. Hey, good luck on that next shot, all right? Appreciate it, Greg.
Right, thanks for having Oakland on.
Yep. No problem. Appreciate your time. Okay. Greg Campy, bye. Oakland University men's basketball coach. How is that? I mean, he's waiting to wait, you know, hit his next shot, and I'm barraging a man with questions. Just doing my job, all right? Just doing my job. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Detroit Tigers falling to the Chicago White Sox last night in game one of a three-game road series. And also, Isaiah Thomas, that's right, former Detroit Piston great, former bad boy, getting back involved with basketball. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Got to remind you all that, hey, that's right, it's hump day. It's Wednesday. You guys know what happens each and every Wednesday night, right? That's right. We tape WKAR's Current Sports TV in our TV studios here on the campus of Michigan State University. I will be sitting down with Mike Ingram, who is the head coach of the Lansing Community College men's basketball team. What a year did they have, huh? Pretty cool year. And Mike was actually even named as the conference's Coach of the Year. He's done one outstanding job. I'm looking forward to sitting down and picking the brain of Mike Ingram. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free, and then it's all about just showing up, all right? Love seeing your beautiful smiling faces each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. All right, folks, well, man, I was not expecting to talk about this. We have some breaking news here on the show and in the sports world concerning the New England Patriots and, yes, Deflategate. This just actually came through about 11 minutes ago on my phone on the ESPN app. And the NFL has found that it is probable that the New England Patriots deliberately deflated balls during the AFC Championship game, of course, in January. And that quarterback, Tom Brady, was, quote, generally aware, end quote, of what was happening. Wow. Now, looking more into the article and looking at the report itself, the article says that it is more probable than not that the New England Patriots personnel participated in violations of the playing rules and were involved in a deliberate effort to circumvent the rules. The report goes on to say, in particular, we have concluded that it is more probable than not that Jim McNally, who is the officials locker room attendant for the Patriots, and John Jastrzemski, an equipment assistant for the Patriots, participated in a deliberate effort to release air from the Patriots game balls after the balls were examined by the referee. Now, based on that evidence, it is also our view that it is more probable than not that Tom Brady was at least generally aware of the inappropriate activities of McNally and Jastrzemski involving the release of air from the Patriots game balls. Uh-oh. It's hit the fan, folks. It has hit the fan. And you know what? You know, and this is why before I made kind of a really critical argument in favor of the New England Patriots, I wanted to see the investigation kind of go through its P's and Q's to see exactly what happened. And again, this is breaking news, folks. And you know, upon this investigation, the league is saying that Tom Brady did have a general idea that this went on with the footballs. First off, before I go on my rant here, I want to get the immediate reaction of this story from Isaac. Isaac, what are your thoughts on this, my man?
Wow, it reminds me of when the Saints and the bounty scandal broke out a little bit, in that the players knew about it. There was involvement from several staff members of the organization, and really it's a little bit upsetting because the Patriots, this is not their first time infringing on the rules of the NFL. I think the NFL needs to come down with a pretty strong hand, because otherwise it's going to be assigned to teams that you can do this without too much of reprimanding, you know? So I think the NFL needs to come down pretty strong on the Patriots.
So you talk about coming down pretty strong, which I do think will happen now that they have certain evidence and now that they report, you know, an investigation has fully been and thoroughly investigated upon. When looking at that punishment, what do you think should happen?
I think there should be a first-round pick taken away, as well as a few other picks in future years, because, like I said, if this was the first offense for the Patriots, you could be a little bit softer, but with them have, you know, the Spygate incident and whatnot, of course, the game with the New York Jets. And, yeah, I think the NFL needs to take away multiple draft picks and maybe even a little bit of money from the team.
Interesting. I think that when looking at this now, I really think, you know, the thing that again, and you brought up the first point I want to make here, this isn't the Patriots' first rodeo when it comes to disobeying the rules. Again, you bring up Spygate, where it was found that what the Patriots had video cameras taping the opposition sidelines and looking at different signals and how those signals applied to gameplay of the opposition. So they got caught for that. That's one etch. And now you can call them repeat offenders because, you know, it's laid out that this team had general knowledge of what they were doing. They knew they were deflating balls. They knew it would give them an edge here. And don't get me wrong, I'm pretty sure there are other teams, Isaac, that engage in this activity across the league. But when you get caught, when you are caught red-handed, hey, you know, you can't go pointing a finger and say, hey, they do it too. There's no evidence. You got caught, and you are the one that the league has to make an example of. And you have to be punished. I would even go as far as to say, based on the fact that the Patriots are repeat offenders, I would even go as far as to say, hey, man, you may have to take away that Super Bowl. Take away some wins. I may even go that far. Because the fact that this team has been caught cheating multiple times, and the fact that this team is a dynasty in many senses of the word, in the NFL, you can pretty much guarantee that the Patriots are always going to be competitive and that the Patriots are always going to be in contention in winning a Super Bowl. If it's found that they are cheating in order to achieve that monument, then yeah, I could see them taking that extreme and saying, okay, we may have to take away a Super Bowl here. We're going to take away some wins here. We're going to take away some accomplishments here. And the squeaky clean perception that is dined upon, you know, Tom Brady, don't get me wrong, I think he's a great guy, great personality. He's a guy who was not a highly touted pick coming out of college and worked his butt off to become one of the best players in the National Football League. He's an unbelievable quarterback, one of the top, if not the top quarterback in the NFL today. But at the same time, it's been found that he is a cheater. You know, he's been involved with the Patriots organization, which is found to be cheating. So I do think the NFL has to come down pretty hard. And you better believe this is a story that is going to drag on all throughout the week. You're going to see this on ESPN. You're going to see this on Yahoo Sports. You're going to see this on multiple talk sports programs throughout the week. And I'm going to be very interested to see how the league handles this. You know, because the Patriots, they go on to beat the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Now, I do think when it comes to that game, when they were found to have cheated, it wouldn't have mattered. It would not have mattered. They could have played with a beach ball, for goodness sake, Isaac. It would not have mattered and would not have had an immediate effect on the outcome of that game. Patriots still would have won, and they probably would have went on to win the Super Bowl as well. So, for me, at the end of the day, the league, you know, another spotlight is placed on Roger Goodell in the NFL. And how they handle it is going to be scrutinized for years to come. So they better take the time with this one. So you believe, Isaac, that you think, you know, you take away a few draft picks here and their first round draft picks, fine them. But I think they got to go to their extremes with this. What do you think, folks? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I also want to relay this news. It wasn't in our quick hit headliners, but just got past this from Kevin Lavery here at WKAR. But former Sexton High School basketball coach Darius Pete Cunningham will be inducted into the Chicago Basketball Public High School Hall of Fame in the Chi in Chicago on May 9th. So that's 3 days from now. Cunningham, of course, attended Carver High School, where he had a tremendous success as a player and was a prolific scorer. So how about that? Salute to Darius Pete Cunningham. We're actually going to try to get Darius here on Current Sports to talk about that very accomplishment. All right, well, 5 minutes left in the show. I want to quickly talk about the Detroit Tigers, who find themselves in a bit of a, I don't even know if you call it a slump, because a baseball season is so long. You don't want to harp on, a few down and out games. But, you know, at the same time, you know, definitely want to talk about it at least. The Detroit Tigers, of course, they fell in game one of a 3-game road series against the Chicago White Sox, 5-2, the final of that game. Jeff Samardzija, he pitched 7 effective innings. And Chicago snapped a 5-game losing streak. Now, Shane Green, who is now 3-2, he was charged with 5 runs and 5 hits in 2 2/3 innings. Oh, is that ugly or what? That's pretty ugly, folks. Now, interesting stuff, because, you know, if you look at Shane Green's struggles out of recently, you know, again, he gave up 5 runs, 2 2/3 innings. He has allowed, 22 runs over his last 11 innings. He threw more balls than strikes last night, 31-26. Had a 0.39 ERA. After his third start of the year, since then, that ERA has ballooned to a 5.56 ERA. And Isaac, you know, you see this with pitchers, though. I mean, you know, again, baseball season is, I always say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And one day, one stretch of the year, you could be so hot, And then, you know, a few weeks later, you can be looking at your numbers like, oh my goodness, what is going on here? So I don't think, you know, you can't press the panic button here on Shane Green. But at the same time, Shane Green has to play better than this if the Tigers want to stay even keel on a pace to compete with the Kansas City Royals. This is going to be a back-and-forth battle, and the little things in this battle of the AL Central is what's going to matter the most when you talk about two prolific teams with those two. So Shane Green, at the end of the day, he's got to play better than that, I think.
Yeah, he definitely does because, like you said, five earned runs in, you know, two and a third innings, that's not good enough for single-A, that's not good for double-A, that's not good for triple-A. He needs to, I mean, it is a sign of possible things to come. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, he started off 3-0, correct?
Right, exactly.
And he's lost the last two. So,
yep.
Although it's a long season, trends are a big factor in sports, and he's trending downwards right now.
Yeah, I think he'll get back on track. I think he just has to just – to me, when looking at that game last night, he just kind of looked erratic. He didn't really look comfortable on the mound. As a pitcher, comfort is everything. You know, that affects your control and everything and how you conduct yourself throughout a game. Also, the bats were pretty cold. Miguel Cabrera and V. Martin and J.D. Martinez, they combined, all three of those big bats, they combined to go 0-for-12 with four strikeouts. J.D. right now, you talk about a slump, he's in a 2-for-25 slump with 16 strikeouts. J.D.'s got to play better. And the Tigers also, when you got runners in scoring position, you got to make things happen. They were 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. On a positive note, though, how about Alex Wilson? He gave the Tigers 3 3/3 innings of scoreless relief. So that's good stuff for him. He has a 3.12 ERA and a 0.81 whip since being called up from AAA Toledo. So when you talk about that closer situation, hey, shining more light on it. You know, Alex Wilson, he could possibly be a player who can make a profound impact with this team moving forward. So again, the Tigers, they've lost three of the last five games and are right now a half game in back of the Kansas City Royals. These are the two teams, without a doubt, in the AL Central that is going to come down to. When this whole AL Championship, AL Central Championship, when it comes down to the wire as the season moves on, it's going to come down to the Tigers and Royals. And again, it comes down to the little things, folks. The Tigers have to play better than that if they want to stay on pace to compete with Kansas City. Heck, who knows, though? Kansas City could be playing and be in a slump next week. You never know what baseball. Don't get too high and don't get too low with a baseball year, folks. The only time you can stay, you know, when you can start panicking a little bit is if this team isn't clicking around September, okay? So, but I think the Tigers will be fine, though. Really looking forward to seeing Justin Verlander back on the mound. You know, as you know, of course, he's been on the disabled list for quite some time now. He's looking to, looking at reports out of, the daily reports from beat writers out there. Looks as though JV is expected to make a return very, very soon. But just how effective he will be, that's also going to be a question mark. We'll see. All right, folks. Well, it's come to that point in time here on Current Sports where we have to say goodbye. I want to give a big shout-out, though, to Greg Campy, Oakland University men's basketball coach. Again, folks, 10 spectacular packages featuring a private dinner with elite basketball coaches, a one-night stay at Motor City Casino Hotel, and an afternoon of golf with names like Tom Izzo, John Beilein, John Calipari. This is the final day to get involved with the Coaches versus Cancer auction. We'll post a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Again, shout out to Greg Campy for joining me on today's show. And thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. On tomorrow's show, we'll give you a sneak peek preview into my sit down with Lansing Community College head men's basketball coach Mike Ingram. Take care, have a fantastic hump day, and be easy, people.